Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Vikings against the Rams in Glendale, Arizona. The situation in Los Angeles just doesn't seem to be getting any better. It's just awful. And so that game's been moved to Glendale, Arizona. And it'll be an interesting game to watch. Jeff Phelps here, Andy Baskin over there.
Okay, according to Google AI, the term doink is used to describe a missed field goal that makes a loud sound as the ball ricochets off the pole. Did you hear the one in the Chargers game? Man, you can hear that.
Let's crank up the sound.
Woo, man, I don't even think the audio guy was expecting that. It started with Chiefs kicker Harrison Butker in Super Bowl. In the Super Bowl, they were last one, because I can't read Roman numerals. So
did you not pay attention in fourth grade?
I don't know. Was it 55, 6, 7, 57?
Is there an L?
There's an
and
L.
And then a V.
And then two I's after the
That's
V.
That's 57.
That's what I just said, 57.
Good. I thought you said you couldn't do it.
I could. It's just easier just to say it doesn't really matter. The term double, so it was actually a remote technical operations guy. He was a vice president of CBS, must have got in someone's ear and goes, doink. His name is David Cone. So he gets credit for coining the term after the play. Whoever the play-by-play guy was in that. So probably
might have been Nance.
That's what I would have thought. It would have been Nance. Yep. By the way, 500 games yesterday. Did you see that?
Good for him.
I like they didn't make a big deal about that either. The term double doink, though, is used to describe when the ball bounces off one upright, then another. Credit for that, Chris Berman, NFL Primetime.
Or the crossbar, right?
According to AI, I will read, because you have to get it exactly right. Like a lot of people in my life, like they get mad at me when I say it was carrot souffle, and I said corn souffle by mistake, and then I got chastised for it yesterday at dinner.
Is it red or orange or yellow?
It's kind of a reddish.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Orange.
Next time you should just call it like vegetable souffle, and then that
stop.
Way
I'm just going to say souffle from now on. I'm just there not even, like,
I'm Andy Baskin, and I eat souffles.
No, I'm just telling you, my wife is an amazing cook, and I made the mistake of saying carrot souffle yesterday instead of carrot souffle. I said corn souffle instead of carrot souffle.
I had a carrot yesterday. Does that count?
No, it's not the same.
Look at you eating your veggies like a big boy.
Yeah,
did
thanks.
You get dessert?
Yeah, I did, actually.
Good man.
Okay, yeah. So Chris Berman
coined
the term double doink.
That's swell.
And Jason Hansen was the guy to do it in 2000.
Very nice.
Yes, okay.
Okay.
So now we're all happy. We're all
that's outstanding.
Doinked out.
So okay. I'm watching the playoffs in the National Football League, and one thing struck me. When it came to thinking about our football team.
Someone threw the remote at your head?
No.
You said something struck you. So.
That's funny. Among other things, and I want to talk about each one of these games just a little bit. But the one thing that struck me, we had five games that have already been played. Four of the five winners had a running back rush for 100-plus yards. And that struck me about our team, because our team used to run the ball beautifully. And then this last year, our team didn't run the ball so well. So, yes, the team needs a quarterback for next year. No question. Team also needs to get back to what it did and did well. And that is have a good offensive line run block, which Jack Conklin and Joel Bitonio mentioned in their little exit interviews. We got to get back to what we did. And I think you need a running back. Maybe two. I'm not sold on Jerome Ford as the lead guy here. and they're clearly not sold on Pierre Strong or Deontay Foreman. So I think along with bringing in two quarterbacks, I think the Browns probably need to bring in two running backs, and then keep your fingers crossed if you decide to bring back Nick Chubb, and I hope they do, that Nick is okay and good to go next year. I think Nick will be better next year. You know, it's not like he re-injured his knee for a third time. It was an ankle. So in theory, maybe that just gives his knee even more time. Mm. And hopefully he's back and good to go next year. And you have Nick Chubb and somebody else as your running backs. Because look around the league at the running backs who are putting up big numbers all season long. And just in these games, Philadelphia had Saquon Barkley get 119, first year with a new team, veteran. The Bills beat up the Broncos. James Cook came up with Buffalo, had 120 yards rushing. The Ravens beat up on the Steelers. Derrick Henry was washed up, right, when he left Tennessee, 186 yards. And Joe Mixon couldn't run anymore. He goes to Houston, puts up 106 yards, and gets the game winner, or at least the go-ahead, lock it up. 32-12, Texans beat up the Chargers. So four of the five winners had 100-yard rushing games. And I think it's critical. Mixon was very good all year, except for the time he was out with an injury. Derrick Henry was just a beast. James Cook, very good. And Saquon almost made history. So I think the Browns really need to look at that running situation and bring in a back or two and make sure the line is good to go. And if you don't think the line is good to go, then you need to make some changes there.
I'm looking at the way things might fall out. If I were the Browns, I would bring in a veteran running back. That's the first thing I would do, and then I would draft one. And you probably,
and you can get one in the third, fourth, fifth round.
And you know who those guys are. But either, I mean, I'm not trying to be a homer on this, but I'm just looking at rankings. Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins are ranked 2 and 3 in ESPN. And if you go over to our lads, they'll tell you that they're probably third, fourth round selections. So, I mean, they may be right in the Browns' wheelhouse as far as getting guys in. I'm still good with Jerome Ford, though. I got to be honest with you. I like the way Jerome played last year. I thought he was extremely efficient. And so, I mean, if they came back next year and Chubb is 60%, 70%, I would have Ford, Chubb, and then I would draft one of these younger guys, bring him in. I would be okay with that coming back. I don't think Ford was bad at all last year.
I don't think he was bad either. I just don't know if he's the guy you can saddle up and say, go, let's do this. Maybe he is.
I mean, he's had a couple years to figure it out.
I would prefer some of the guys who might be out there in free agency. And I would think about, like you, drafting, whether it's Travion Henderson or somebody else. There are good running backs available in the draft. Find one and bring them in.
Yeah, I don't know where.
Make sure your offensive line is good to go. You know, make sure. And, you know, their new running backs or offensive line coach was, you know, the guy at Stanford when they were running with Christian McCaffrey and Bryce Love. So, okay, go running game. Let's go. Let's figure this out. And if you don't think your offensive line is as good as we hope it's going to be, as good as it's been in the summer healing up to, and maybe you're better next year, although there's a little bit of age on them, just a little bit. But you see offensive linemen playing into their, you know, mid to late 30s all the time. Do some self-evaluating. If you don't like it, then fix it.
Yeah, the Chubb part of it's hard because I'm not turning my back on Nick, and if I think Nick can give us something next year, I'm not walking away from Nick. He means too much.
No, I'm not either.
So,
but you know, is Nick walking away from the Browns? I don't think so. I would honestly think the Nick Chubb we saw this year is either A, exactly what he is at this point in his health, or he just needed a little time to come back and he's going to be more like he was in the past next year. And, you know, I don't buy the running back in his late 20s can't do it anymore. Joe Mixon's doing it.
Absolutely.
Derrick Henry's doing it. Derrick, I think he's 31. I mean, these guys can get her done. You know, Josh Jacobs had 80-some yards for the Packers. He was on a new team this last year. Mm-hmm. I think there are a lot of guys in the league. You know, I'll throw out a name to you. Mm-hmm. Miles Sanders, okay, who was with Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. He's in Carolina. He's due a big roster bonus this year. He's probably not going to stick because they signed Chuba Hubbard to a multi-year contract, and they have Jonathan Brooks, who's coming back from an ACL, probably won't play next year, but they already have Chuba Hubbard. Miles Sanders, after their last game, said, "There's no way I'm not going to be on the GD bench next year."
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he doesn't want to be there behind Chuba Hubbard. He's a free agent. He'd be a guy who some team's going to bring in and maybe could be that kind of guy who veteran changes teams and does a nice job. But I think it's the running game that you're really going to have to pay attention
to
next
year. Here's the one thing I don't want to play next year. I don't want to play Nick Chubb ends up on another team. If a knee is okay, he's back to work sort of where he kind of was before, and then we sit here and play Wheel of Regret every Monday because we look and we see he had 100 yards again or he had 100 yards again. I would rather go one more year, roll the dice with him to see if he can get back into that spot than have to sit here every Monday and go, oh, what were we thinking? Why did we let him go so quick? We could have hung on to him for another year. What would it have hurt us? It's running back. You're going to tell me you can't? Right now, I'm just looking, what are they? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys on the roster? 7 running backs on the roster? 3, 5, 6? I'm looking at it. You can do this. You can keep Nick, maybe keep Jerome, draft a guy, and bring in another guy. That's all.
You think?
Yes.
Yeah, I do too. I'm not sold that Jerome. I'm not as high on Jerome as you are. I think he can do a decent job.
I think we flip because I think when he first came in, you were high on him.
No,
never. Oh, I thought you were in the beginning. There were times throughout the season this year.
I think he's a pro running back, but if you're looking for a difference maker, I think you're going to show a lot of faith if you give him that opportunity. How's that?
I don't know. My problem is that loyalty sometimes gets in the back of my head. That's all.
Maybe.
I'd be okay if Ford's back next year. I'd be back, like I said, all three things.
Folks, what do you think about the running situation? I think the Browns should have been enlightened by what they saw in the first round. Yeah, you need a quarterback. But yeah, you need a running game too. 216-474-0092. Some phone calls coming up. Scott Petrak, Chronicle Telegram, will join us at 11 o'clock. I want to talk about a couple of these games in particular, by the way, especially involving the two AFC North teams. Yikes, Baltimore looked good. And they're not going away. I want to talk about a couple of these games in particular. The Ravens just looked phenomenal, didn't they? I mean, the combination of Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry is just lethal. And it sets Lamar up to throw the ball. He doesn't throw it very much. Doesn't have to. And it just makes it so effective. Another thing I thought about these games, in the AFC, all right? Got Lamar Jackson. Throws it, runs it well. Got Josh Allen, he won.
Mm-hmm.
Throws it well, runs it well. You have C.J. Stroud, runs it pretty well, throws it pretty well. In the NFC, Jaden Daniels, runs it well, throws it well. If Jalen Hurts, runs it well, throws it well. Do we see a trend here with the quarterbacks?
I do.
Makes me think that drop back passer who's going to just stand there in the pocket is not necessarily the guy you want in this day and age, but I think that makes perfect sense. So keep that in mind as the Browns do their search for a quarterback.
My biggest takeaway from the weekend is I watched, you know, these football games, and I really didn't have a good nail biter until last night, right? Last night was the good one.
Oh, last night was a good game.
Yeah.
And so it was an entertaining game.
I just feel like the Browns are a million miles away right now.
Washington
don't feel like
won 4 games last year.
It doesn't matter.
It does.
It doesn't. Because they have some things figured out that we don't. Quarterback? Yes.
Well, they didn't until the draft.
Well, they figured it out. So maybe that's a little bit of hope for Browns fans, but we're not in the same boat as any of these teams right now. That's the way I was watching. What I saw, you think we are not better than any of the teams that won yesterday.
You know the one thing that does concern me? The Browns aren't better than the Ravens.
No.
Even though they beat the Ravens. The Browns aren't better than the Bengals, I don't think. Because I think the Bengals have some really good pieces on offense in particular.
I think their defense makes them competitive for the Browns. Our defense makes us competitive with other teams.
Yeah. The Bengals aren't light years ahead of the Browns.
No, and neither are the Steelers.
No, which is why I think that they can leapfrog those two teams next year if a bunch of things go well. And they don't go well for the Bengals and the Steelers in particular. But clearly the Bengals
seem to be the organization that things don't go well for, though. Those teams seem to figure it out.
Rich is in Ashtabula. Rich.
Hey, Rich.
Hi, I'm going to go off on a different tangent.
Oh, good.
There's no quarterbacks out there. There's no quarterbacks out there that's basically worth anything in the draft. Why not go after Jack from Ohio State? You make a hell of a compliment to Myles Garrett if he would stay.
Jack Sawyer? You're saying don't draft a quarterback. I thought you were starting to talk about Will Howard there. Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Sawyer's not expected to be a top 10 pick.
No, Sawyer's probably going
to
be. I'd love to add him
in the second round.
Our lad says third, fourth on him. Now, I don't know if his value went up over the weekend, but he's a Bear, man. We saw it all. Who was not screaming for 33 to get down the field, even though we thought he was going to black out as he was running down the field?
I agree with you.
But the quarterback part doesn't matter. You're talking about taking Jack Sawyer with the number 2 pick overall?
That's not.
They don't need to do that.
No, they don't need to do that. Cool Ray's in Bedford. Cool Ray.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How y'all guys doing? Yo, to the last caller, listen to what a real caller sounds like. You know, let's stop this narrative that there is no quarterback in this draft. Tom Brady was a 7th-round pick. You know, it is more misses with quarterbacks than it is hisses. You have to train these guys and coach these guys up, period. Yep. So my question is this is, how could you just say it? We're not better than Pittsburgh. We're not better than Baltimore. We're not better than Cincinnati. Pittsburgh, let's start with that real quick. Pittsburgh is not a quarterback away from winning the championship. They're just a running back and a receiver winning from taking this division. We see that's what that was. That was a running back and one receiver that they're missing to make Pittsburgh do what Pittsburgh need to go back to. The Browns are so far away from that. So my question is this, with my team, the Browns, how much talent is enough talent to make – how many Pro Bowlers do we need on this team so we can be competitive? Because we had the number one offensive line. We had a decent quarterback coming out of college in Baker Mayfield. I was going to call him something else. We had receivers. We had – Pro Bowl Hall of cornerbacks, safeties, linebackers, and running backs. How much talent do one organization need to make us competitive? Do we need Pro Bowlers and Hall of Famers at every position?
No, Cool Ray, but you can clearly admit they don't have enough talent to. I mean, they won 4 games or 3 games this year. I mean, it's real clear that they need more talent at numerous positions.
Okay, but here's my thing is then sometimes we have to look at the person who got rid of the whole complete offensive line coaching staff. This team was great until he started and the organization decided we're going to do a soft rebuild by getting rid of the whole offensive line. Let's think about that. This team was so competitive.
What do you mean get rid of the whole offensive line?
It was all back.
Offensive line coaching staff. Yes,
yeah, they let a guy go coach with his son. I like, come on, can we get over that? That's just what's wrong with that?
But when you say look how fast we dropped. We have to look at everything.
I think a lot of that had to do with injuries too, Cool Ray. I mean they were beat up this year. Conklin was coming back from an injury, it took him longer. DeJuan Jones was coming back from an injury, it took him longer. It's not exactly what they were looking for. Wyatt Teller missed some time. I mean they were beat up this year. And though they do have some age, I also think they have ability. And, you know, the Browns need to determine, is this offensive line okay to bring back next year? You know, you had 2 key guys on that line tell you they were running the wrong scheme. They were running the wrong scheme this last year for running the football. And I think they have ability. And I guarantee you, if you got rid of Jack Conklin, someone would sign him and start him next year. If Joel Bitonio were to decide he wants out and wanted to be traded, somebody would put him as a starter at left guard. Ethan Posick would start for somebody at center next year, and Wyatt Teller would start for somebody at right guard next year. I mean, that's so I'm willing to bring them all back. But I do think, okay, you're bringing along Luke Whipler. See what happens there. Mm-hmm. You drafted Zach Zinter. Develop mm-hmm. him. DeJuan Jones is coming back. Develop him. Keep it going. And okay. you have some other guys that you've brought in.
So maybe that's...
You have to replenish the depth there.
Okay, let me get this off my chest, okay? Do I think Bill Callahan was a very good offensive line coach? Yes, he was a very good offensive line coach. Why? Because we would see the Browns plug and play guys all the time.
And so wouldn't get killed.
But the left tackle position is brutal. It's been brutal. We haven't been able to figure that thing out. They drafted the wrong guy. Let's just be honest about Jed Wills, okay? Didn't work.
Their first choice of this new regime did not work.
Did not work, okay? But as much, and I like Bill Callahan as much as anybody. Do I wish he was still the O-line coach? Yes, I do. But I don't ever remember, and Jeff, tell me if I'm wrong.
He appreciates that.
Did Callahan ever put a uniform on and block somebody from tackling our quarterback?
Don't believe
that. Did we ever see him on the field? No. So, I mean, you know, there's talent, there's coaching, and then there's coaching talent. And yes, some coaches can squeeze blood out of a rock. But, I can't believe when you look at the offensive line that the Browns have and the respect that I think most of us have for Joel Bitonio, Ethan Posick, Wyatt Teller, Jack Conklin when he's healthy, what DeJuan Jones could be, and maybe Jed Wills should be on the other side, okay? But those guys were there, and then they came back. Are you really trying to tell me that they became less talented because of the coach? It's very hard for me to believe that.
What seemed to be the case, and at least it seemed to me to be the case, you brought in a guy who didn't stick in Buffalo because he wasn't running the ball enough, was a little pass happy according to everybody out of Buffalo. And then he came in here and you could make the argument they didn't run the ball enough and then ran the wrong scheme. And ran the wrong scheme because the two guys who I think are the best linemen on that team, or two of the three, told us they did. So we have a team built to do this and we didn't do that. Duh. And that's on Kevin too. Kevin let that happen. So he shouldn't have let that happen. Lenny is in Amherst. Lenny.
Hey, Lenny.
Hiya, fellas. I just wanted to make a comment. It sometimes when you see something, it seems so clear to you, but it doesn't seem clear to anybody else. If I was picking in the draft, I'd take Abdul Carter with the second pick and draft somebody like Will Howard in the third or fourth round and then get one or two veterans. And take it one step at a time to rebuild this mess.
Lenny, I agree sense? With you.
Lenny, that's real sensible.
I have no problem with that.
Yeah, I don't either.
I mean, you'd have a bookend pass rusher with Myles Garrett that's a monster, and we're on our way.
Can't disagree with it.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, and the Will Howard thing is if you get him a little bit later in the draft, what did you have to lose? Right. If you're gonna draft
or
him,
someone else like
or
Will
somebody.
Howard.
Well, yeah.
Think you might be able to bring along.
Ohio State fans want to close their eyes.
Picks this year,
and you've got five in the top 103.
Yes, sir.
There's plenty of space if you want to get those guys,
and you can trade up.
And my big fear is that sometimes I close my eyes and I want to replace the problems of the Browns with guys I'm watching play for Ohio State right now. And I think that a lot of us do that.
No.
You think I'm the only one that does that?
No, we've heard from two or three people.
I mean, I'm being honest. But so because I think we watch them as much as we watch the Browns. I think that's why.
Yes. And we're seeing more.
Yeah, and I think that, because they get to play a little bit longer, don't they?
Yeah.
Lenny, thank
you. And they win a little bit more, too.
So, and then everyone wants Lenny, a coach fired for one loss.
Scott Petrak, Chronicle-Telegram.
You know how many different coaches we'd have for the Browns if it was based on one loss?
Brownzone.com, coming up next.